Good morning and welcome to the Thursday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. I'm Joanne Haig and I will be your host for today and looking after all things technical, my good friend, John Stout. The number to call, 434-1790, and to send us a WhatsApp message, 266-4862. Now, I want to start with a feel-good story or something positive. I used to do it when I first sat in this chair and I recognized that I wasn't doing it anymore and I wanted to get back there. So this morning I want to highlight a really kind individual. He's a police officer by the name of Roy Thompson. He has now been promoted, or should I say he's acting station sergeant on the West. Roy Thomas, or should I say acting station sergeant Roy Thomas, Thompson, my apologies, has always been very helpful in the community. We've seen him over the years doing a lot of house painting and bringing officers together to, you know, making sure that people are okay in the community. And we need more of that from the police force, all of those positive stories. So pat yourself on the back, Sergeant Roy Thompson. So let's get down to brass tacks. Now, what's on my mind? I have Dr. Lord, Adrian Lord on the line, and I'll tell you why in a minute. Dr. Lord recently has been sharing a lot of information about the importance of wearing your mask, and I really thought we should bring him here or ask him to come here for a couple minutes. He's very busy this morning to talk about it, to help reinforce the message. I've seen people wearing masks on their chins, as a scarf on their neck, as a handbag in their hands, on the top of their heads, below the nose, just below the top lip, all sorts of things except for how they're supposed to be worn. Now, Barbadians, even though the government said that we are not seeing a lot of cases, that we do have one imported, and they have confirmed that everyone so far that they have tested would have been either negative or they would have gone through the virus over the two-week period and then tested negative. It does not mean that the country is COVID-free. It is just free of those who were tested. So you still have to exercise caution because you don't know. And clearly, over the next couple of days, when we open up our borders, we don't want to have to try to get back into it. So we should have continued the hand washing and the physical distancing and wearing the mask, which, by the way, I want to give some government officials some lashes this morning, because you cannot preach wearing a mask and asking people to adhere to the physical distance, and then you are seen not doing it. Come on, ministers, you know better. You're supposed to wear your mask. You need to lead by example. So I say to you this morning, you have to get lashes for that, because on television, you're doing your press conferences, and 1 minute you have on the mask, and then you switch the scene to something else you don't, and somebody behind you has the mask below their nose and not wearing it. You're taking pictures very close without the protection. So if Dr. Lord is on the line, Dr. Adrian Lord, good morning.
Good morning, Joanne. Good morning to the Brass Tacks family.
Good morning. Thank you so much. I know you're busy, so I'm going to squeeze a few minutes. We saw you recently hitting home to Barbadians and begging them, please, please wear your mask. So I wanted you to share some information as to the importance with Barbadians. And if you can reiterate it here on Brass Tacks, we would really welcome it. The floor is yours.
Yes, thank you very much for inviting me this morning. Taking a few minutes out of my busy morning. I started this whole program of educating my friends, really, because there's a lot of misinformation out there. So I got down to mask, and you know, initially the World Health Organization had said no mask only for the medical profession, but we've recognized that as the pandemic, as it became a pandemic, that we needed to educate persons more, and we need to wear the mask or cloth facial coverings, especially in public. We have seen where there's insistence in certain business places It is recommended. And as you said, some of our leaders have not been wearing masks. We see the president of the USA not wearing masks. We see the president of Brazil at a press conference announcing that he had COVID-19 without a mask. And I understand the press are now going to sue him for doing that. So, but we're thinking about Barbados right now. We need to contain the virus. We've had 98 confirmed cases in Barbados. There's one lady presently in isolation. We have 19 who have recovered. And we are going to have more persons come into the island over the next couple of weeks. We're having commercial flights. So therefore, the possibility of COVID coming into Barbados will be there. And the thing about it, Joanne, is that COVID-19, as I say, is a beast. It is asymptomatic. So the screening that we do at the airport for the temperatures is just one possible of the many symptoms. So you don't know who has COVID. Many people, 80% of people may be asymptomatic, have no symptoms, and some of them may have mild symptoms that they may think is just a flu. Mm-hmm. The mask protects you from other people and protects other people from you. So by keeping the facial cloth facial coverings on your face, and as you said, it should be properly worn. It must cover your nose and your mouth. And that would prevent the droplets. Droplets is how it is recognized that SARS-CoV-2, which is the virus that causes COVID-19, is spread, is transmitted. Right now we are seeing it is 3 feet. 239 scientists just wrote to the World Health Organization and say that it is also aerosol spread, and that has different implications now. Mm-hmm. So we even more so, Joanne, need to encourage people to wear your mask, use your hand sanitizer, and do the physical distancing. That is, those public health measures are the main ways that we can stop the spread of COVID-19.
I just have one question for you. Did you get a chance to see the protocols for travel? Any of them in particular, the one where it says, based on your country of embarkation, persons who arrive with negative COVID-19 CPR tests may advance to immigration, baggage claim, and customs, and will be permitted to leave the airport. I just wanted to have a question. So if a person comes in without the certificate and he's on the same airplane and it takes 4 hours, should you be allowed to leave? And if you do leave, will they be quarantined? Because it may be hard to track in case that individual who comes in without the negative certificate turns positive. I was just wondering what your thoughts were on that particular piece of protocol in place.
It is a difficult situation to deal with. You can be negative one day and be positive the next day. You can be negative and could have contracted the virus on the flight by mm-hmm. someone else, or just before leaving, or just after taking the test. Mm-hmm. Remember that the negative test, the tests are being done 72 hours before you're leaving that area. Mm-hmm. And as you know, you've traveled, and you know the last 24 hours of a holiday is a lot of shopping and moving around.
Yes.
Plus, it is also very difficult in some of those places to even access the test because of availability. Even Americans can't get tests done. So that is another challenge that we will have. But as you said, having a negative test and then leaving the airport, I would like to think that there will be still some sort of tracking of those persons, where they would give all the information of the expected place of stay, so that and there will be asked if they do develop any symptoms, fever, cough, change in taste and smell, headache, those sort of things, sore throat, you should report to the health authorities by calling the COVID-19 hotline.
Right. Well, my only concern is where they're going between that time and not being able to be tracked. I'm actually advocating for ankle monitors. You may want to put that one and add it to the list with a mask when you're bringing in people in order to help track them. But
that would be a good idea. Yeah. I've seen you know, I think they're doing it actually in Jamaica at this time.
So ankle monitors. Oh, good.
Yeah, they're doing monitoring. There's a monitoring device. I don't know if it's ankle or.
Oh no, that's an app on the phone. But some people may feel that. I mean, for me, for ankle monitor means that after you can just get it back and keep it. I'd be worried about the phone and the fact that the app is still on. It may still be there and tracking me after the fact. So some people had some concerns about their privacy, et cetera, with that particular thing. But okay. But I don't want to keep you. I want to thank you. Keep up the good work. And we'll do our part here, making sure that people wear their mask in terms of speaking about it more on the calling program. I want to thank you, Dr. Lord. We'll be back.
Go ahead. Thank you for raising this because the media needs to get out there and remind people that COVID-19 is still here. You know, we're not getting the daily reports as we were getting before, but they're still doing testing, and you need to stay safe.
Before you go, one thing that you said, testing. When we see the dashboard, and I've asked this before, should we not look to, going forward, say the amount of people tested and then the amount of tests? Because a person gets more than one test, and that's calculated on the dashboard as tests given. So isn't that giving you kind of a false sense of how many people were actually tested?
Yeah, it can give a false sense that we are testing a number of persons, but persons may be tested more than once, especially those in isolation. They will be tested more than once, and they'll come out as a test, as a total number of tests. For instance, up until yesterday, it was 8,439 tests that were done. But that doesn't mean that it's 8,439 people that were tested, because some people were tested more than once. In fact, I believe that is what it said. It doesn't say that for sure, but we can get clarification on that.
Okay. I want to thank you again and have a great day, and keep up the good work, as I said. We're going to take our calls now down to brass tacks. You are on the air.
Hi, good morning. Hi, good morning. First of all, I just want to compliment the doctor you had on what he was saying. I know I see in China that they have this new system of tracking people with social distancing and different things of that nature. I don't know if you've seen that on some of the news channels, some new technology that they're using, though. But I do agree with you, it can be, for even here in the Caribbean, for some kind of invasion of privacy, for some people may not be too comfortable with that, with the ankle monitoring thing and what have you. As far as the mask is concerned, people hear something and everybody seems to think it's a free-for-all. No, they can do more than they've been doing, even in the lockdown. So, I mean, with the mask, you preach about it, that they need to wear the mask. COVID-19 is still lingering over Barbados, but that's neither here or there for a lot of them, you know, and people need to take this thing really serious. Look at what's going on in Miami, and especially in a place called Broward County, you know. Mm-hmm. Now in the States, they've passed the 3 million mark.
Could you turn down your radio or something in the background?
Okay, sorry about that. Okay. Scientists on a daily basis are trying to... Is that better now? Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Right. Scientists on a daily basis are trying to find an antidote for this wicked virus. And we here have to be still cognizant of the fact that it's not gone. It is still pretty much with us, and instead of living, doing things in a careless fashion, you've got to be very cautious in what you're doing. You have to wait to see, you know, what's going to happen, you know, when the boats are going to be allowed to have parties and what have you. And I can only imagine what's going to happen then. I don't know what you have.
I think we should still try our best to live our lives as best as possible, as normal as possible. However, just exercise caution. Follow the rules. That's all I'm saying. Someone is here. Obviously, people have the different opinions that the SAR already said these things, already told us. And they're going on to saying that, so this means that every government department has to come on air. You know, so it's sad because once we relaxed the efforts, we saw people, you know, not doing the right thing. What we need to do is to make sure that they continue. Flights are coming back from Sunday. So we don't want to be caught scrambling. Well, we need to live. We need to live with this virus.
I know we need to live, but if you have people, as you are just saying, mm-hmm. it seems like you will have to police people into continuously doing the right thing, because mm-hmm. the style of washing the hands properly, you will have the nice advertisement with the Queen of Soca, Allison Hynes, advertising and telling people, you know, how to wash your hands. I mean, they're big people. They're not children. And they're acting in that response, a little childish, I find, that you have to be repeating yourself and re-saying the things, either here on brass tacks or elsewhere. Either it would be yourself or someone's trying to tell them. And, you know, come on, I mean, over and over and over. They are not blind. They can see what's going on overseas. Mm-hmm. You know, and this thing spreads all over. It doesn't care what part of the world you're from. There's no respect of persons, and people need to take it more.
But I just want to make sure I make the point. We need to live our lives. We need to still have some level of pleasure and feel happy. But while we're doing it, we need to just make sure that we follow the rules while we're doing that.
Yeah, do it in a sensible manner.
That's all it is. It's not, you know, because I personally would love to see the country get back to where it was, and it probably won't.
Yeah, me too.
This is a new norm, and we can make the adjustment, but we do it responsibly.
Yeah, and one more thing before I go, with the situation, I want to know what you think about those guys, the video that's been circulating with the profanities and the really bad behavior of the Rasta guy and the young gentleman that owned the truck that were throwing the coconut shells all over the place. And when they were being videotaped, they were misbehaving and a lot of profanities. And mm-hmm. it's amazing that they only getting basically, in my estimation, a slap on the wrist, 5 days of community service, and they must give a public apology and all that. Whereas, if you remember, you had a young man that threw some kind of boss juice or something, and he was slapped with a $500 fine. Mm-hmm. I don't understand that.
Well,
and that is, and as somebody said some time ago, we're living in 2 or 3 different kind of Barbados. One rule should go for everyone. It doesn't matter your color, your status, or where you come from in society. You know, you should be made to pay. And that behavior that we all, I'm sure, probably you, witnessed was ridiculous. They need to pay. And 5 days of community service, I don't think is not good enough. And, you know, I always compliment the Royal Barbados Police Force and the sterling job they do and they try to do, you know. But I think in that instant, it was that is too slack. They need to pay, especially the guy that was cursing at the woman that was videotaping him.
Well, he was a classic. He used some very strong language and told off for the 4 parents of our nation, and particularly the mother of the nation. And so, yeah, I saw it and I thought, in terms of the littering and illegal dumping, something had to be done. But I'm looking at this in 2 ways. I don't know the financial status of the individuals. So let's just say that they're okay. Then sometimes a charge, you can see that's them getting off. It depends on who it is. Sometimes paying money is actually the easy way out for some people. Sometimes embarrassing them and making them do some work may actually be better, may actually be more beneficial to us looking from the outside in and deterring others from doing something like that. But it depends on how you see it. Some people I understand said they should have done both. It should have been a fine and there should have been what we call like community service. And but most people are leaning towards the money aspect of things. And I'm saying that sometimes if, and again, I don't know if individuals on that video can afford, but sometimes when we put a fine of $500 or $1,000 and people can pay lawyers, that's it. But I think it's kind of good. And I hope they put them on video too. I hope I get to see them cleaning the beach on video and an apology on video too. Sometimes that is a little bit more damaging for the perpetrators than just the money. But I want to thank you so much for your comments. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Good morning, Jaya.
Good morning.
Good morning, Joya.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good.
There are four issues I would like to raise this morning. One is the virus. The second one is the chicken issue. The third one is reparation. And the fourth one is the Freedom Park. Now, are you aware that there are scientists claiming that the virus has mutated in Texas?
No, I'm not. You tell me.
Right. I saw on CNN here last week that there are some scientists claiming that the virus has mutated.
Yeah, but you said in Texas, but I believe it had.
Right.
I believe that it saw some slight mutation in the virus a while back. But
okay.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. And seeing that we have to coexist with this virus, even if we develop a vaccine, we still have to coexist with the virus. So I am saying that persons should build up their immune system against the virus. And wearing the mask 24/7 is not giving you the opportunity to build up your immune system. I wear the mask, but I only wear the mask if I'm going into a crowd or going into a building or going into a vehicle. But if I'm at home or if I'm out in the open, I don't probably wear the mask. I wear the mask on my chin and so on. I think that's a means of building up my immunity against the virus. Hello?
Yes, sir. Go ahead. Well,
do you have any comment to make about that? Or?
No, you continue. My apologies. Someone came in here to give us something to put on the ear, but go ahead.
Okay. The next issue I'd like to deal with is the chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we were told that there was a glut of chicken, frozen chicken, by the local producers. The BADMC suspended their sale of chicken, and it was done for 2 months or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they have resumed the sale of chicken, but the minister and Mr. Paul has not seen it fit to come back to the public of Barbados and say what is the state of chicken in Barbados, whether there's still a glut or not. Yesterday, Mr. Wood claimed that since the BADMC has resumed the sale of chicken, they have increased their price by 20%. Now, this is not any new shipment of chicken that they're brought in. It's probably chicken that they're selling while they were supporting the glut.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like the minister or somebody in government to come and explain to the public of Barbados how chicken being sold by the BADMC can be increased by 20% when it is chicken that they had in stock.
Well, let's hope that they're here and someone will come and explain. And I just want to tap back to the mask wearing that you said, wearing it 24/7. You're not supposed to wear a mask 24/7. I think the maximum is 4 hours. And there are rules of changing it. And of course, if it's disposable, you can't use it again. If it's a cloth mask, you need to wash it. And there are face shields as well that people are using instead of the mask. Again, the SAR can speak to any other alternatives, but I know for a fact you're not supposed to wear a mask 24/7. It can be uncomfortable.
But I'm talking about the protracted wearing of the mask. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that the less you wear the mask, so the less that you are in surroundings where you don't have to use the mask.
Yeah, like your car.
The more you stand out.
For example, you don't have to wear it in your car. And some people were actually in the beginning. Actually, I was one of them. I got into my car with a mask on, and my brother said to me, I went to his house, he's like, why are you wearing your mask? And anyone in the car is like, no. He said, take your mask off while you're driving. Do you want to pass out? So I'm one guilty in the very beginning when we were all scrambling to do the right thing. I didn't want to let my windows down, and you know, but you live and you learn. Knowledge is really something really great, because the more you know, then you can do better. But continue, sir.
I'd like to look at the reparation issue. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying that if we are given any funds, I do not want this fund, this money to be placed in the consolidated fund or given to any individual.
What should we do with it?
We should have a referendum, and the people of Barbados should decide what is to be done with this money. I would like $1,000 a month to be paid to every Barbadian, any part of the world, for the remainder of your life. We should also set up a committee. This committee will be elected every 5 years for persons to administer the fund. They will invest the fund and disperse the fund.
Okay, so any benefits then with this money? I mean, in terms of empowering Black people, businesses?
Everybody will be given their $1,000. So what you do with your $1,000 is your business.
Oh,
you don't have $1,000 to empower anybody or not.
Well, so you think just giving someone $1,000 is...
For the remainder of
your life?
Every month for the remainder of your life.
Okay, well, fair enough. I'm sure people wouldn't mind that, some people, especially in this day and age, just getting $1,000 a month for the rest of your life. But
this Barbadians, all parts of the world. Why don't you prove that you're a Barbadian, you would be given this money.
Okay, sir. Well, thank you very much for that suggestion.
The final thing is about the park. You have any updates on the park that have demolished the building, but nothing is happening on the site?
Well, I believe any updates that will be coming, I'm sure will be coming through the news in a few days. Okay?
Right. Don't you think that work could be done on the park and the Empire Theater and the Hyatt at the same time?
I think that if you happen to disrupt an area and you can do all at the same time, yeah, instead of having to go back and then go back again, it would be wise if one is doing any type of construction work and you have three different things to do, it's in the same area, if you can pull it off at the same time, why not? Okay.
On the construction of the Hyatt. Hello. Mm-hmm. Don't you think if the Hyatt had extended to take in Pirates Cove, they could have reduced the height of the building?
I really don't have any comment on that. All right. But I want to thank you so much. You had a good run. We do have to take a break at 10:40, but we'll take a call right now. Down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air. Yes, could you turn down your radio, please? Hi, I can hear you, but... Hello? Go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Am I on, Jayan?
Yes, you are.
Right. Jayan, I am very disturbed this morning about that video that we saw of the young man throwing those coconut shells, littering, really,
mm-hmm.
littering, and the profanities that he spoke to not only the individual that was filming him, but the language that he used to describe how he felt about Barbados. Now, in the clip that I read, when there was an investigation, and I would like Carol ask Padmore to come to this program and explain to us the investigation that they carried out and these measures. I didn't read anything about any court. I read that the sanitation authority carried out an investigation, and subsequently, the individuals agreed to do a cleanup. Mm-hmm. Now, I have a difficulty with all of this, because if individuals can do seemingly what they like, only the Lord knows how many times they did this thing. And the one time they were videoed, an investigation was carried out, and this slap on the wrist, as you would call it, have been metered out. Mm-hmm. Now, as you rightly say, it is better sometimes to have a different approach in terms of an apology, and as you were saying, the individuals then are agreed to do some more cleaning up. That can be more effective. But for too long, Joanne, we are seeing these associations that are not being called out. Someone called my phone this morning to suggest from a foreign country that here it is once association, it is seemingly a slap on the wrist again. It ain't a local that tell me that. It is somebody that see this same clip from a foreign that is saying this to me. And I felt compelled to call this program to express my disappointment with this, because, Jayan, these videos and the social media goes worldwide. And we got people outside of Barbados seeing these things and then getting the same information sometimes before ourselves, and are able to make a decision or to come to a conclusion even before we even see the clip. Let me finish with that. Dr. Adrian Lord, as you were speaking to him earlier this morning, made a statement in reference to people that come into Barbados again from a foreign, and that the quarantine process could be foiled in terms of 24 hours prior to coming to the island, and let me say, not necessarily being quarantined or quarantined. Language is very, 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 very important when we are communicating this information. When I listen to the foreign news, and especially what is happening in the United States of America, which now has in excess of 3 million people infected with the coronavirus, Joanne, the news in America is telling me that the Trump administration is not providing the necessary testing kit that the people can be get tested. It is not so much that the people not wanting to get tests. It is that the federal government is not doing enough in order to allow the American people to get tested. That is the news I am seeing out of America. And while we in Barbados once again does have to be colorful in our language when trying to communicate this information, I think the problem that we are having is that if getting down to brass tacks is trying to tell us that.
We have some news of an accident by the roundabout leading to Waterford. The traffic is more or less coming to a standstill. And I believe we have someone on the line, Erskine.
Good morning, my dear.
Erskine,
how are you?
I am okay. Yeah. What about you?
The situation here by Waterford is that there's a tractor trailer, and those who would know what a tractor trailer is, an articulated truck, was going from the north to the roundabout, heading towards the Nominal's roundabout at the Waterford roundabout. Halfway in that roundabout, the next bit in it, to the back of it is a Zedar pinned on to the rear, hit very hard, and the injuries there. There's 3 ambulances on the scene, police on the scene. The traffic is now backed up to Warren. So anybody coming into Warren roundabout, do not attempt to go up the highway, because vehicles have to be turning around and coming back down that side of the highway. So you cannot enter at Warren roundabout going south, going towards Waterford. The other side of the roundabout coming from the turning, coming into the roundabout, try not to come there. Turn by Kelsey's and go across to Lears and find yourself to the Bell and come out in that area. Coming out of Waterford bottom, you cannot go straight through to Kelsey's. You've got to make the left turn and come down the area. So that immediate area right now is in a mess. So don't go. It's a very, very serious accident involving a Zedar. I don't know how many people are injured at this time, but it's a some persons being lifted, there's a second person being lifted into an ambulance. So right now, Waterford is a no-no, fine alternate route. So do not come from Waterford, from our warren into Waterford. Don't come from Kelsey's, that immediate area, into Waterford. Don't go from the Waterford area, come and mirror, through to the roundabout by Waterford, because you're going to be in a long, long line. And therefore, it's best for motorists to take out the route.
Okay, I want to thank you. And let's pray that there are no serious injuries for that one. It's 10:48, Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Yes, ma'am. Joanna, I'm back.
Yes, go ahead. Continue, sir.
All right. Well, all I want to say in conclusion, because I'm going to give some other people a chance to come in, is that all too often when we see these things happening, we have people living overseas that are on to the happenings in Barbados. And we have to be careful about how we meter out justice. And we also have to be very careful about how we test the people that coming from, let me say, especially America. You got 3 million people in America affected. You got 1.5 million in Europe. You got Asia, 1.2 million or something. We are going to be drawing traffic from all of these different areas. What I want to urge Adrian Lord and the people in authority to do is don't mind the language, but continue to do due diligence in terms of testing and making sure that everybody that comes to this country goes through the protocols as required to keep COVID-19 out of Barbados. Jayan, already one or two flights have come in, and we start to have a case again or two. Am I wrong or right?
One case repatriation.
Good. That is the report. Mm-hmm. Please do not put Barbadian lives at risk. Already, the multiple coconut shells, the multiple debris, the multiple, I must compliment the minister for the marvelous cleanup and the millions of dollars that has been spent in cleaning up this country. But we got a few. You know how much coconut shells and how much containers that harbor mosquitoes and flies and all sorts of things are in the back places of Barbados, that individuals like the same two that we saw in that clip getting on really, 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 really bad. How much of that is around this island? Lots of it, and it has to stop. And one contributes to the other. We're trying to stop people coming to Barbados with the COVID. But they got, again, that few, that one or two, that seems to don't care about nothing, not even themselves, that are trying to wreak havoc on this little country. We have a beautiful country here, and people on the outside looking at it, they want to come here, they want to live here, they want to invest here. And these little stupid things that we're doing has to stop. It has to stop. And I urge, again, the authorities to do diligence and do all of that testing when people come into this country and make sure to help to try to keep us COVID-free. Thank you for entertaining me this morning.
Thank you so much. I want to put something out there. The Prime Minister, the government has been talking about persons coming here, long-stay visitors, what we refer to as laptop living. Laptop living really is being able to run your business remotely. And instead of coming for a short visit, then you would be able to extend your stay and invest in Barbados. It sounds like an interesting concept. That way you don't have to do all of the testing and keeping people in quarantine for 2 weeks, and then they only have 3 weeks for vacation. So these are things that the government is actually coming up with. And it's interesting to hear what you would have to say about this laptop living. I like to refer to it as that, because you're literally coming to Barbados, being in a hotel, relaxing, getting out your laptop and running your business from this country and bringing in money, making some money. Who would not want to be able to do that? Make some money on this lovely island and come and stay here for 1 year. Some pictures just came in from from VOB newsroom. I just saw them with the gentleman cleaning up the area. The minister actually is on the scene, the Minister of Environment, Mr. Trevor Prescott, and looks like they're working pretty hard. It's a long stretch of beach that they're cleaning up. It's not only the coconuts that they threw there. So maybe, just maybe, this may be the answer to getting our beaches cleaned, making sure that perpetrators are put on camera, pictures are taken, get them to clean the beach, and in some cases, some people are saying issue them a fine too as well. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Ouch.
Jay, how are you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. Permit me to read part of a release, media release from the Caribbean Court of Justice. About the decision.
Oh, yes. The CCJ rules in favor of opposition in Guyana.
Mm-hmm. Right. It says CCJ rules that the Guyana Court of Appeals judgment and the Chief Elections Officer's report were invalid. I'm not going into details. I guess that will be covered by the news, but just to let persons know that that's the case. That's one thing. Second thing, the dumping of coconut shells and all that, it is so disturbing. I took a drive to Cherry Tree Hill the other day. When you leave Cherry Tree Hill and you're going toward Bosque Bell, like you're going to the north along that road. I mean the road that would take you back to Foster's Funland. You familiar mm-hmm. with that?
Yes.
Right.
There is
a little road on the right there, just before you go down the hill to Foster's Funland. It's not too far from Cherry Tree Hill, mm-hmm. but that used to be an area that was also scenic, and you could go park there and look over the East Coast. Through that road, and this is an appeal to the SSA, because nobody else can do it, so I know the SSA will do it. There are so many things dumped through that road, including coconut shells. Trucks that just drive up through there, dump coconut shells. I see old fridges, toilet bowls. I see things like old glass windows and doors and all that. It's really unsightly. And that is in our national park and the Scotland District. Why would Bajans be so insensitive, or whoever dumped it there, be so insensitive to that area or any area of Barbados? Why go dump in such a pristine, beautiful place that people go to enjoy the view and just relax? So if the SSA, if they're listening, I know Mr. Alf Padmore would do something about this. They could take a truck or two, because it's quite a bit of garbage, and they can have that area cleaned up. I hope you agree with me, Joya.
But I'm still trying to figure out why we still have to dump illegally. I remember when we had a problem with trucks, and I'm not saying that we should have done it, but people were actually looking for other ways and means of getting rid of the garbage, and we certainly should condemn those actions. But we have trucks now, and I haven't heard any complaints about the SSA recently, so I would imagine that they're doing a pretty good job. Actually, they are. I get a garbage pickup now every week. What about you?
Me too. The same thing, like mm-hmm. clockwork on Friday mornings, and sometimes they come twice. Actually, they come twice to make sure. So I don't understand why you people do that. But just in another appeal to Mr. Padmore, you may need a bobcat. It's so much garbage, a bobcat, and at least two mm-hmm. trucks to clear it.
Do you think people know who the dumpers are?
I don't know. What can be done, though? We have technology. Nothing wrong with installing CCTV cameras on a pole in that area and the same mm-hmm. Church Hill area. Nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. Those are both tourist attractions and is in our national park. Persons who are caught should not be given a slap on the wrist. Just say what these guys are doing now, community service, and let it be fam. Let people see that they're going to clean up that whole stretch of beach and all that. That should deter quite a few people from doing nonsense. I guess it's done in the night, because I don't see trucks in that area during the day. It's probably someone at night, or more than one person, and they're going to dump this stuff. It's really unfortunate.
Well, hopefully. No, I like the whole fact, putting TVs, CCTV, in areas that you know that you have problems, and catch the perpetrators. We're not as lucky as, like, thank God that lady was there yesterday down at behind the Hilton. She was able to capture that and resulted in what we see today. And you know what? It's not only about charging people money and so on, and see lessons learned that we can all learn from it. Don't dump illegally. And I'm sure those pictures that I saw not too long ago will make their way to the newspaper about with those individuals. Hopefully it would be on the front page of the of tomorrow's paper and embarrass them because they want embarrassing. You know,
I don't wait until Jack and the Boss belly fill up again. Put some CCTV cameras up there. I'm sure that they can be erected on poles really high up and have a panoramic view, and they can record whichever truck numbers or whoever's doing the dumping or whatever, and that information can
There's
be
There's a caller from St. Thomas who normally makes reference to something like that, too. Maybe we might hear him today about Jack in the Box.
And that used to get clearly yearly, but I'm sure if you go up there or that area, you're going to find garbage again, people dumping fridges and stoves and beds. And I don't know what... And it's free to go to the landfill. That's the thing. It is free to go to the landfill. Just go to the landfill and dump whatever you have, and that's it. No tipping fee anymore.
Okay.
Well, anyway, Brian, you have a good day. Thanks for hearing.
And thank you so much, too. Now, I've been asked here of questions, and I want to read some WhatsApps pertaining to the Barbados Water Authority, people in St. John. One person is here saying that the water apparently came on for 2 hours, and it came on during that town hall meeting. And I think it was Sunday. They had a town hall meeting in Gall Hill in St. John. And the residents, and rightfully so, they were very, 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 very annoyed at some of the responses. And, of course, at the situation. Now, in my humble opinion, when you know that you have not been able to deliver a service, even if it's not your fault and it's due to rainfall, a lack of rainfall, I should say, never go in a room and be defensive. You listen, and there are questions that if you know you can't answer, you refer it to the operational people. Too often, ministers try to answer questions that really should be for the staff to do. And I'm sure they're trying to help, but then the end result would be what we saw on Sunday in St. John. And there are a lot of things I believe that can be done for the people of St. John, the mitigation plan. And one should bring a mitigation plan, a drought mitigation plan, to the table, which means, okay, we're going to take 6-7 months to get you this water, but here's what we can do in a humane way, right away. And I think what was a little bit puzzling for the residents is that the water came on in areas while they were there at the town hall meeting, and the water came on for 2 hours the next day. I'm trying to get an update here now. And there are videos of meter readers in the area right after. And these videos were uploaded on social media that their meters have been read after a short period of water coming on. They've said that this was an ongoing thing. So BWA, they have a lot of challenges. They really do. However, I think you can handle it a little bit different. And people are not stupid, and particularly the people of St. John. I mean, trust me, most people in rural Barbados, you see St. Joseph, St. Andrew, St. John, St. Thomas, you know, they take a lot, but there comes a time when they ain't going to take any more. And, you know, and they're very patient, very resilient. So when you see them coming together, you know something is wrong. It's very different to St. Michael. St. Michael can be out of something for a day or two, and everybody's going to keep a lot more noise. The people in rural Barbados, they're patient. So when you see them get together, when you see them and hear them calling the program and all these videos, you know it has gotten to a point that they cannot take it anymore. So I just thought I would weigh in on that. There's some comments coming through, and I read them throughout the program pertaining to the Barbados Water Authority and the water situation. and about what plans that do they have. We heard about the long-term plan, but I really didn't hear about the immediate plan. What is the drought mitigation plan? Because this is not over, you know, for the people of St. John, I don't think. It's not over for the people of St. Joseph. And another thing before I take a call, we need to stop telling people we fixed the problem. We might have fixed, people will fix that particular problem. But when you have a system that is connected to other things, you would be better served to tell people we have fixed A, but A can go off because it depends on B and C and D. And that is how the water system works. Stop telling people we're going to fix it, because even when you do, things will happen. So you have to still put them in a position where they don't have these unrealistic expectations that water will flow forever and ever. Amen.